Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's walk aboard right now. Billy Devaney, Atlanta Legends GM, Alliance for American Football. We'll get to that here in a little bit. Former Rams general manager as well, as we're down to Championship Sunday in the National Football League. Hey, Billy, Taz of the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
What's up? Hey, how we doing, guys?
Right. What's up, Billy?
Doing well,
how are you,
Billy? Doing well. And, you know, a lot of interesting storylines here. I'm curious from your perspective with Kyler Murray, the Oklahoma Sooners Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, declaring for the NFL draft, measures in at about 5'9". You know, you have not seen success with 5'9 quarterbacks in the National Football League. You know, Doug Flutie had some, a little bit more of a star in the Canadian Football League. What's your take when you look at Kyler Murray and whether or not his game can translate as a pro?
Yeah, you know what? He's the kind of guy that drives scouts crazy because he defies everything that their board dictates as far as size and what they're looking for in a kind of a prototype quarterback. Here's what I when I look at this kid, I just think you never underestimate the heart of a competitor. And this kid is an unbelievable competitor. He's got, you know, if he's 6 foot one, even 6 foot two, he'd be by far the first player in the draft because the guy's got great arm talent. I mean, he can throw the heck out of the football. Now, I think the comparisons are going to be because you want to like the kid. He's wired right to play quarterback. Everybody's going to say, well, how much smaller is he than Russell Wilson? And I think that's a great comparison in a lot of ways. So he's a unique guy. I think obviously you're going to tailor your offense around him if a team drafts him in the NFL. And I just see the stuff that I see out of this kid, he just defies the odds, and I would never bet against him being successful in the NFL.
Would you invest, Billy, to the point where you would invest conceivably a top 10 pick in him?
You've been doing this for a while, how early we are in this process. There's a long, long way to go, especially with quarterbacks. I mean, I don't want to say the easy part is the on-field evaluation. Teams have to get to know this kid. And can he be the face of your franchise? Can he be on the cover of your media guide? Is he a guy that players rally around? And does he have that it factor? If he checks all those boxes, the intangibles to play the position, then absolutely, I think he's the kind of guy. He's that electric. And especially the way the game is going today, I think that his timing is great. The way NFL offenses are evolving towards more of a pro college style offense. So to answer your question, yeah, I think he can be worthy of that.
Well, let's stick to the topic of quarterbacks and two that have been checking the boxes now, one for a long time, one for this year, and that's Tom Brady and Pat Mahomes. So who's got more pressure on him this Sunday, in your opinion, Brady or Mahomes?
Man, if they got pressure, I think these two guys, I mean, they couldn't be more opposite in where they are in their career, style of offense. I mean, the style of their play, you know, one's mobile, tremendous athlete outside the pocket. Sure. The other is old-fashioned, just prototype, stand back there and just tear you apart. I don't know. I would think Patrick only because they haven't done it. And I know they want to win for Andy Reid. I think Andy's got more pressure on him than anybody.
Yeah.
I'd say Patrick, just to try to get them over the hump. But I think at this point, Brady's playing with house money, guys. I mean, he's going to go down as the greatest quarterback ever. So I think at this point, everything's a bonus for him.
When you look, though, the quarterback play, both are brilliant. Mahomes is going to be the MVP of the league. They're both different stylistically, personality-wise, they're different. But when you look at this matchup in Kansas City, And it has an opportunity, if you look at the advanced weather forecast, this opportunity to be really cold in Arrowhead Stadium on Sunday, where temperatures are going to be 10 degrees. It could actually be below zero potentially on Sunday for that game in the AFC Championship game. What are you looking for, Billy, when you look at this matchup, Chiefs and Patriots, New England and what they represent, and Kansas City and what they've done here for Andy Reid? And what do you look at as going to be a turning point, what a deciding factor of this matchup?
Yeah, I think when you get to this point in the season, I mean, obviously everybody's focus is usually on the quarterbacks and the offense, the head coaches to a certain degree. But I think you made a great point. I think the elements are going to be a big factor in this game, and I think the defense is going to come down to who plays better defense. And if you just step back and if you're picking a team, New England or Kansas City, to play great defense on Sunday, I think most people would say New England has a better chance to be strong and show up on defense. So that's where I see the difference right now. New England is much, much stronger on defense than Kansas City. I'm still not sold on Kansas City's defense hanging in there for the duration.
Yeah, it'd be tough to argue with that, Billy. So if we shift gears to the NFC, so what do you think, man? Are we going to see a shootout in New Orleans this Sunday with the Rams as they go to that tough dome to play those Saints?
Man, that is, and that place was crazy the other day.
Yeah.
And they'll ramp it up again. There's no question. And that crowd is a factor, guys. It really is. When you're on offense, the offensive line for the visiting team is at a real, real disadvantage in that environment. And, again, I always step back and say the first thing I look at is the quarterbacks.
Right.
How do you ever go against Breeze? Goff is capable, and that offense is capable with the running attack, as balanced as they are, of putting up great, great numbers. But again, the Goff is, you know, he's been a little bit shaky the last month, in December. I think it has a chance to be a great, great battle. But here's what I say. I think the Saints are, they don't get enough credit, and Peyton doesn't get enough credit for being kind of a gritty team. They can run the hell out of the ball now. I know this. They're one of the toughest, hardest working teams during the week. Their practices are extremely, extremely physical. They pride themselves on being able to run the ball and pound the ball. And obviously, the Rams are loaded at running back also. So I know everybody's kind of expecting this wild ass shootout and throwing the ball all over the place. I see two great, great running teams that are going to put on a show on Sunday.
You know, Billy, it's interesting because I was kind of thinking the same thing when I looked at the matchup, because it's almost like now with the Rankins injury for New Orleans, and that's a huge loss with the torn Achilles.
Yeah.
He was a stud interior lineman coming out of Louisville for the last 3 years. And you look at trying to protect the back end of that secondary, aside from Tlaib, the rest of the guys in that secondary for the Rams have struggled. And without Cooper Kupp, that offense for the Rams has not looked the same. It almost seems to be two teams that really want to try and play keep away with the football, emphasize the ground game, and we saw that with the Rams against the Cowboys, where clearly their offensive line dictated and won the battle up front, and that was the biggest determining factor of that game.
No doubt. It's great, great, great point. And just go back to what we were talking about a minute ago with that crowd. There's no doubt being a factor. It's a heck of a lot easier for those offensive linemen to run block in that environment than it is to get off the ball in the against a really good pass rushing team. So I think you're spot on, and I think that's exactly what the Rams are thinking. We want to go back. We want to go out, establish the run, control the line of scrimmage, and pound New Orleans, and in the process, keeping one of the great Hall of Fame quarterbacks in Drew Brees on the sideline as much as possible.
Hey, so Billy, talk about an NFC team that's out, and that's the Eagles. So I want to get your opinion, man, on the quarterback spot. What should they do?
Man, that's a tough one. We were just talking about that last night here at the hotel. That is, you know what? I'm probably, I guess, in the minority. I find a way to try to keep Foles, whatever you have to do to keep him. When Carson Wentz was coming out, I absolutely loved him. Thought he was the best player in the draft. Had all the physical skills. There was one thing that always kind of bothered me about him was his durability. There was a reason this guy was at North Dakota State. He was hurt his senior year in high school. He was not heavily recruited. He was hardly recruited at all. Nobody knew who he was. He didn't play. His last year at North Dakota State, he was hurt twice. I mean, it was like this first or second, might have been the first game of the season. He had a high ankle sprain in this time. Then he was hurt later in the season. You know, there's been questions now since he's been at Philadelphia. Now, they're legitimate injuries. This guy's as tough as anybody. But I know in Howie Roseman, the general manager at Philadelphia, he's got to be holding his breath. He said, if we let go Foles, and I mean, we're going full bore with Wentz, I hope he makes it through the season. That's the only knock on Wentz at this point in his career. And the window is now for Philadelphia. I mean, if they've got to take a shot next year. It's not that young a team. They have to go for it, and I think their best chance to go for it is try to keep Foles. You have Carson Wentz on his rookie contract, so it's not like you're trying to keep two really high-priced quarterbacks on your roster. You can afford to pay Foles way more than what a normal number two would be, and you'd still be able to live with it. So I don't know. They're in a tough spot. They're in a really tough spot. The guy's in a great spot is Foles.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and he's in an awesome spot. So and shoot, he's an easy guy to root for. It's nice to see somebody have that kind of success and handle things like it. I mean, he's handled things like a champ.
Humble guy, too. Very humble.
Really great, great guy.
We're talking to former Rams GM, Billy Devaney, currently with the Alliance for American Football, the Atlanta Legends GM. We'll get to the AAF here momentarily, Billy. What did I pick your brain? Because you know, it's interesting when you look at guys that fall through the cracks, right? And we're discussing momentarily the Rams ground game. Because my wife asked me this question. We were watching it and watching C.J. Anderson running all up and down the field. And I explained, well, this is the fourth team he's been on this year. He started the year with Denver, was with Carolina, got cut by them, with Oakland, got cut by them, and then got picked up by the Los Angeles Rams after the Gurley knee injury. Explain, when you watch a guy like Anderson, who clearly can run it, and is clearly, we saw that in Denver that he can run it, how does a guy like that fall through the cracks here, Billy? Because we see a lot of teams in the National Football League could use a guy like C.J. Anderson, and there he was at the end of the season, available for everyone to be had.
Exactly. It is amazing. So, and you see it, I don't want to say often, but time and time again, those kind of stories. I think it's a classic case, being in the right place at the right time. He is a good runner. Is he an elite runner? No. He's a solid NFL player. And I tell these kids, I'm down here with the Alliance League, and part of our sell to them is there's a lot of guys walking the street that have ability, but for whatever reason, the scheme may not be great, where the team is. They may be a throwing team committed to throwing the ball all over the field, and you keep two top-tier running backs. Oftentimes, things happen out of your control. It's just not the right fit. The other thing is, who knows? Maybe all of a sudden the light has come on, and I'm not talking about CJ. I'm talking about people in general. All of a sudden, like, wow, I better get my act together. This career is not going the way I thought. Maybe I need to work a little harder at my craft. Maybe I need to pay a little bit more attention and apply myself a little bit more because I'm having a hard time finding a landing spot. There's a lot of factors why players don't stick in one place, move on, and finally settle into a scheme or team where they're comfortable and the light comes on. I think that's a great example with C.J. Anderson.
Hey, so Billy, speaking of, you were just talking about you're down in Atlanta there. So how's everything going with the AAF and the Atlanta Legends? I mean, I know it's just so brand new and everything. So talk about what's going on with you guys, and I'm sure you're excited about the team.
Oh, man, it is. We're having a blast, and you're right. It's brand new. Every day it's a new day. And as you can imagine, with a startup, we're not just starting up a new franchise. It's a whole new league. So every day there's a new challenge and something else pops up, but it is awesome. I go way back. I was part of the Washington Redskins when we put that strike team together the year we won the Super Bowl. It's not someone like that.
87.
You've got kids here. Yeah, exactly right. You've got guys here that basically know, man, I've got one more chance to try to get my foot back in the door in the NFL. I can't screw this up. So we're getting their best shot on and off the field. We've got 75 guys here in training camp, and it's been a joy to be around these guys because they're trying and they're extremely hungry. And it's just the coach has been tremendous. This guy Charlie Ebersole is the guy that's kind of orchestrated this Alliance League, the co-founder, And to pull this thing off in the amount of time that he did, we're actually down in San Antonio. There's eight teams in the Alliance League, and all eight teams are training in the San Antonio area, all at different fields around San Antonio. And like when he first presented that, I said, holy Christ, I don't know how hard it is to have a training camp with one team, everything involved.
Right,
we're
going
to try to have eight teams. It's amazing.
In one city, in one town, yeah.
In one town. It's amazing how they pulled this off.
That's
so
cool.
It's been a blast.
You know, Billy, I want to ask you about that Skins 87 team here momentarily, but what do you think for the – you've been around football and pro football for a long time. The greatest challenge the AAF has initially upon startup?
Oh, man, that's a great question. The greatest challenge really to get
– I would think the pressure of time, because you guys had really no time to get rolling, right? I mean –
Dude, we're kicking off in about, I want to say 25 days.
Yeah, 25 days away. But I guess to grab the attention of the NFL, to grab the attention of the football fan, Billy, what do you need to see from this league early?
Oh, I think right out of the gate, guys, it's got to be competitive, and we got to score. It's got to be exciting football. I mean, I think our worst fears, we've got a bunch of 9-7 games on opening weekend. You know, people like offense.
That's where
we're at. I mean, that's just the reality of things. And I think that is the challenge now, especially for the coaches. You can imagine they're tempted to empty the playbook. But in this short of time, they've kind of taken a step back and say, shoot, if we're lucky, if we get 5 or 10% of the playbook installed initially, and we can build as we go on. So I think that's the greatest challenge right now, is to get players up to speed on what we're doing. Defensively takes care of itself. I mean, that's a reacting deal. There's teaching involved, but you go out and play. With the offense, there's way more technical aspects to it, where there's a lot more teaching and where you're thinking about things rather than reacting. So that's the greatest challenge, and then just getting all eight teams competitive. And the other thing that we don't want one franchise start out 0-4, 0-5, because whatever market that in, I hope it's not Atlanta, you're dead in the water. There's not going to be any support. So you're hoping to come out and try to win some games, show people in your market that this is really good competitive football, and kids are playing their butt off trying to get back into the NFL.
Well, it's certainly going to be interesting to watch, Billy. I grew up a Skins fan, so I got to ask you about that 87 team, because if you go back to that strike season, you know, your organization that you worked for at that stage, they embraced putting a quality team on the field where a lot of teams didn't. I mean, it hurt the Giants that year. You know, Parcells and the Giants didn't. And then when the regular players came back, so talk a little bit about Gibbs and that Skins team 87 and what you guys did as an organization during that strike year.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. And there's a lot of really good things about Joe Gibbs. The one of the best parts I tell people all the time is when things were in disarray, or where we had trouble, or there was controversy. That's when Joe Gibbs and when the great ones are at their best. Joe did a great job of keeping our, when I say real players, the real Redskin players together. But also at the same time, we kind of anticipated that happening. And Charlie Casserly was our assistant general manager at the time, and he embraced putting a team together. He started way before the lockout even started, and it was a challenge. And he got all the personnel people and said, "We hope this doesn't happen, but if it does, we got to be up and running and get the best team together possible." And it was fun. We spent a lot of hours putting that team, finding replacement players, and Joe did a marvelous job embracing the strike players, but also at the same time not alienating the regular players. So when they came back, I mean, we were 3-0, and those strike players, ironically, I don't know if you realize, they just got a Super Bowl ring last year.
I did,
that was a long time coming. So Casserly deserves a lot of credit for building that thing, putting that strike team together.
You know, Billy, on Sunday, who do you think wins these championship games?
Oh, man. You know, I know people say home field's not that much of an advantage, disadvantage. I think certain places, it does become so, and New Orleans is certainly one of those places, and it's hard to ever pick against Breeze. New Orleans, and again, I like New Orleans and New England, just because what we said earlier about the defense. I think that is offenses are, you know, the two quarterbacks are outstanding, but I just think their defense tips the scales towards the Patriots this weekend.
So Saints and Pats down there in Atlanta, that'd be the worst nightmare for Atlanta fans, I'll tell you that. Last team they want to see is New Orleans, and nobody wants to see New England.
Bro, listen, what the people in Atlanta are freaking out because if the Saints are there, guess what? They're using the Falcons practice facility the whole week. They're using the locker room.
25 days away from the start of the Alliance for American Football, Billy Devaney, the Atlanta Legends GM. Hey, Billy, we'll get you on again real soon. Best of luck with the launch, all right? It's going to be a fascinating watch, and we appreciate the time this morning.
Thanks, Billy.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for your time.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.